Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with Steve Arterburn and co-hosts Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Jill Hubbard, Mylon Yurkovich, Dr. Sherry Keffer, Chris Williams, and Dr. Alice Benton. New Life Live is dedicated to bringing you hope and help through practical and biblical solutions for daily living. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word for genuine spiritual healing. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now, here's Steve Arterburn.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. It is Steve Arterburn here, and joining me today, Dr. Sherry Keffer, and I believe joining us in just a few will be Dr. Wise, who is the co-author of the book, Understanding and Loving a Person with Borderline Personality Disorder. Hi, Sherry. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Great to be with you both.
Well, you know, we have heard such great things of people that have read the book. We've offered it a gift of any amount, and if you want to get a copy of it, you can do it. But this is a dilemma for us because we don't want to offer anybody who's married to someone with this problem or works with somebody or has a brother or sister. We don't want to give false hope of some kind of miraculous recovery. But also, a lot of people think there is no hope, but there really is.
There is. I mean, this is the thing, is when you have someone who has deep wounds that equate to borderline personality disorder, they actually are the ones that have to do the deep healing to change themselves. And while before they do that or while they're in the process of that, there's people that get wounded around them. And so I appreciate what you're saying, Steve, to give a realistic view of how we can continue to work, be with these people. They're in our families. They're not going away. But how we can take care of ourselves and still extend love and possibly even love and boundaries at the same time.
That's right. Well, let's talk with Dr. Wise. He's here. And Dr. Wise, thank you for joining us today on the program. Really appreciate it. How you doing? He's almost here. Hi, Dr. Wise. How are you?
Doing great. Doing great.
Well, you've done such a great job on this book. If everybody is part of the Arterburn Wellness Series, and I've told folks that when I was at Focus on the Family, Dave and I were doing a program on Take Your Life Back. Head of counseling there said, you know, this is their go-to book for folks who have someone with a borderline personality disorder, and it really is so well done. How did you develop this kind of insight into a problem that a lot of people, they don't even want to talk about it?
Well, Steve, I lived with a person for a long time who had this problem. And then secondly, if you work around a church or a volunteer organization, you run into people in that context who at one point tell you you're the greatest thing that ever happened,
mm-hmm.
and then about a month later tell you you're the worst thing that ever happened.
Yeah.
And I had studied in graduate school, when I studied psychotherapy, I'd studied this problem, and I gradually began to realize I was at one point living with, and another point I was encountering people who had an underlying character problem. And it was explosive. And I think of these people as being like a volcano. They may stay dormant for a period of time, but get ready because down there underneath it, it's still bubbling and boiling.
Yeah. And, you know, as I say in the book, I have had personal experience and literally was my arm was the only thing keeping someone from jumping out of the car. I was the only thing between them and the pavement. And I think one of the most frustrating things about this is that a person with this problem so often is just so completely blind to the fact that they have a problem. And all of this, of course, comes from their deep woundedness that they've experienced in their life. Well, if you want to join us, it's 1-800-229-3000. We'll be back after this.
My husband had done the Every Man's Battles, and I thought, what? There's something for women?
The Restore Workshop is coming to Orange County, California, February 23rd through the 25th.
Here are so many other people that are going through the same things, that love the Lord, and it doesn't look very Jesus to do certain things and think certain things about your mate, but that's normal. I just got a new normal. It's not dark in there. It's very light. You literally hear people laughing that could not even smile or frown. I was that way as well. I was pretty much just flat. It happened almost immediately, the energy of everyone pulling together for restoration. It happens pretty fast.
To find out more about the Restore Workshop, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
It went from get out quick with the info to making friends.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Dr. Sherry Keffer, Steve Arterburn here. We're talking with Dr. Wise, and he is the co-author of the book Understanding and Loving a Person with Borderline Personality Disorder. We've got calls already lined up, but Dr. Wise, let's just list some of the signs that you live with someone and need to get this book, or that you
Steve,
are.
I don't know if you can hear me or not, but I'm losing you on this phone. Let me try this on another line here and see if we can do better.
Okay.
Hang on.
Okay. Well, while you're doing that, I can hear you. Can you hear me? I hope you can hear me.
I was losing you there for a second.
But let me put you on hold, and I'll just run through this, and then we'll go to one of our callers here. But, you know, Sherry, let's talk about the symptoms. I think one symptom that everybody can relate to is the unpredictability of this person. Dr. Wise mentioned this. In the beginning, initially, this is a very fascinating, wonderful, attractive, alluring person. They'll even tell you, you're my new best friend. I mean, you just can't do anything wrong. And then, with one small slip into the negative or slight, this person, they feel like they have to protect themselves at all costs from you, and you become the enemy. Wouldn't you say that's the most overriding, or is there another big sign or symptom?
Well, yeah.
No, I think that's one of the hardest things to do with. These people tend to polarize. They tend to see people either as their hero or as their enemy, and that you can slip almost in a moment from being the guy on the white horse to being the guy they're trying to kill.
Yeah,
and you
right.
can you can find yourself suddenly at the other end of a spear, and you're not sure how you got there. I think one of the things that's very hard to deal with these people is that they are convinced. They're not just putting on an act. They're convinced that their anger is genuine, and so when they are telling someone else about you as their enemy, they're convincing. They sound as real.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
It's tough.
Yeah.
Well, and I think, Dr. Wise, the reason for that, at least in my experience, is because they end up putting themselves in the victim role, and they make the other person the offender. They see the other person as a perpetrator of sorts, like you said, the villain. And so it's very confusing because they don't see their own behavior, and then they react to the person who's confronting them. And then kind of flip, and all of a sudden you're the one that's the bad person. And so it can feel like a crazy roller coaster ride and kind of a nest of barbed wire at the same time. So we got to figure out how to live in love with these folks, right?
Well, let's go to the phones, and let's help somebody to deal with this. First, let's go to Jenny. She's calling us from Denver, Colorado. Hi, Jenny. Welcome to New Life. You're listening on KRKS. Is it you or is it someone that you know that might have the problem?
Oh, embarrassingly enough, it's me. And
why do you think so?
I could put on a front for a long time, but listening to your programs and reading books, and I hate it that I'm this way because I do what you just described.
Really?
Turn on my husband, and he doesn't even know what happened. And I'm learning about it to understand. Well, the biggest problem I have is abandonment, and that's why I called, because I sense emotional abandonment, and I freak out and fire people. And
yeah.
I want to grow through that and stop doing that because when I get in that place, I might as well be 3 years old. Also,
right.
I want to mention my mom was, she had a nervous breakdown when I was first born, and she was gone from like my first week through 2.5 months.
Mm.
And she never showed up emotionally. She has a lot of problems. And so, I'll leave it at that. I struggle with abandonment issues and I want to deal with it.
Well, you know what? I want to congratulate you on two things. Number one, able to see the reality of your life and say, hey, I think this is me. And then secondly, also, for you to be able to say that, you know, here's the issue with me, it's abandonment. I mean, that shows some insight that oftentimes just never, ever shows up. What do you think, Dr. Wise?
Yes, I appreciate so much what she is saying. And if it seems to me a person who is in her position needs to begin to practice objectifying their emotion. And I think one of the ways that a person can do that is to learn to ask themselves a series of questions that cause them, as they ask that question, to move out of an emotional state to a far more objective state. You could have a question like, is this person really trying to make me become abandoned? Is this person trying to leave me? Is this person trying to do something negative to me? And then you ask yourself, do you say to yourself after you ask that question, no, that is not the case. That is not what is going on here. And what's happening is the person is objectifying their feelings in a way that moves them out of that mode of being stuck as a victim.
Yeah, that's really good. So you're saying to be objective about your feeling. We use the word objectifying as something relating to how we, a poor way of treating someone, objectification. But here you're saying try to be objective about those feelings. And, you know, here's the thing that you might find, Jenny, is that you're blaming your husband for stuff, right? You're saying, you know, he doesn't even know what he's done. Right?
That's right.
And
he
so
it come out of the blue with stuff, and I'm like, don't you know?
Yeah.
It's sad.
But here's the thing that I think is almost impossible for a borderline personality disorder, and that is this. You don't want to be abandoned, right?
No.
But your treatment of him causes him to literally abandon you emotionally because you're not safe for him. And I think it's a tremendous, tremendous step when someone can say, I create the very thing that I say I hate, or I create the very thing I'm trying to avoid. I'm the one. I say I want to be so connected.
Well, 'cause I fire
I'm
people.
The one. Yeah, I want to be connected, but I fire people. I disconnect from them before they disconnect from me.
Because if they're going to leave me, I'm leaving first.
Well, see, but a lot of people don't know. They don't take the time or develop the insight to know that's what they're doing. Let me hear, Sherry give you a couple of thoughts here before we go. And I'm going to send you this book, and I really hope that it'll be a blessing to you. Sherry?
So, Jenny, I think your insight was profound. You know
mm-hmm.
why? Because you said something that is so true. You said, I might as well be a three-year-old. Well, guess what? When you came into the world, you were a victim. You were a little baby who had a mom who had a nervous breakdown. And then what you found is your mom was emotionally unavailable. So for those very first developmental years, you were without connection. You were without healthy attachment. That core right there, that wound, that deep trauma is actually triggering you. And so I want to invite you to get in to do some deep trauma work around that wound, because that little girl, that little three-year-old inside of you, is still behaving in a way that she's afraid. She fired her mom just in order to be self-contained and survive. So deep down, there's beliefs like, I'm not lovable, I'm in danger, I don't deserve love, I'm not good enough. And so when you feel the hints of those coming up in a relationship today, you react in light of that event. So go get some deep work done so that you can heal.
Yeah, what you want to do is honor the three-year-old that was so, so mistreated by this mother, but not be controlled by the three-year-old. Two totally different.
Can I ask you a quick question? I'm coming to take your life back. Would that help?
Oh, absolutely. You betcha. And I can't wait to meet you. We have so many people that come because they're totally controlled by these emotions that they don't even understand, and people around them aren't around them anymore because they're unsafe. So yeah, you will love being there, and I'm going to look forward to meeting you there. Anybody else? I mean, this is a great, great issue that you can deal with. You don't want to be controlled by something that happened early in childhood that sometimes even causes you to question, do I even exist in the minds of other people? I mean, that's kind of the most severe abandonment you can have, that you don't even exist. And so many times you're just trying to prove that you're on the planet, that you are alive. All right, 1-800-229-3000. Let's go to, how about Heather, Houston, Texas. Hey, Heather, how you doing?
Hi, I'm okay. How are you?
Doing all right. How can we help you today?
Great. Well, first of all, I want to commend Jenny.
Yeah.
Love it. Love it.
She has won half the battle.
Yeah.
I think so.
I have a sister. I have a sister who's borderline, and I'm looking back at family history, and I think our mother was probably on the moderate to low end of that spectrum as well. My sister is on the malignant side, very violent, has, you know, attempted to run her ex-husband off the road, stab him, stalked him, tried to choke her mother to death at one point in my presence.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
So very malignant, and it's been going on pretty much my whole life. She's 11 years older than I am. So you can do the math on that. But, in fact, I'm shaking here right now with my PTSD from it.
Wow.
But so I just want to commend Jenny. She has, I wish my sister would do the self-reflection she has done. And then if she had, there might be hope for us to have a relationship.
Yeah.
But
so what's the question? Yeah, what's the question for us today?
So when does a person who is in a family situation with people like this just throw in the towel, or not necessarily throw in the towel, but just know that they need to walk away?
Mm. Well, Dr. Wise, what do you think?
I think one of the issues that you are presenting before us is that we all have to have boundaries, and that with this kind of a person, they must learn that there are boundaries of what we can accept and take, and that's as far as we can go. And for that to be constructive for you and for them, when they exceed those boundaries, you have to cut them off or cut off what's going on in the relationship. But without boundaries, the person has almost no limits on the amount of destructiveness that they're able to create.
Yeah.
To me, the key is this detachment from the drama, this disconnection, the emotional disconnection from them, limiting time and presence with them, really protecting yourself, but I would say never giving up on the hope that some of the things we heard with Jenny, you might start to hear from your sister. Sherry, you have a comment before we go?
Well, I do. I think sometimes, and I can completely relate with you, Heather, sometimes we get to a point that we just want to say, I'm done with you. But really, what we're trying to say is, I'm done with how we relate. I don't feel safe around you. And so when you're willing to go look at what's happening and why you were running somebody off the road or why you were stabbing or stalking somebody, when you're willing to look at that, we can talk about spending more time or getting closer. But it really, I think it's easier to talk about it from their behavior rather than you are bad. What, how you're behaving is bad. It's hurting me and hurting others.
Yeah.
So good. All right. Well, we got to go. Well, we have to go to a break. Hold on. We'll get right to that question right after this. You're listening to New Life Live. Dr. Wise has helped in our Arterburn Wellness series, the book Understanding and Loving a Person with Borderline Personality Disorder. It's a great one. It'll help you. I think it'll help you not only not give up, but you'll actually be able to kind of facilitate whatever healing might be available to that person. We'll be back right after this.
I did come into the weekend with an expectation to sort out probably something that couldn't be fixed.
The New Life Intimacy and Marriage Workshop is coming to Orange County, California, February 16th through the 18th.
There is a third person in our marriage, and it's not Jesus. It's a voice that is harsh, and it's put a wall between us.
Join Steve Arterburn.
I'm going to be talking about seven different secrets from the Mediterranean. You do these, and they lead you to a life of passion and meaning and romance and deep, intimate connection.
And Mylan and Kay Yurkovich.
We're going to be talking about the emotional, sexual, and relational journey that all couples go on over the course of a lifetime together.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com.
I really feel like we have somewhere to go and a future and we have hope.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Last year after Every Man's Battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw not only in myself but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. And Heather, you had one other question real quick you wanted to ask. What was that?
Yes, and this is more for me. How do I get over the guilt and the shame and the anger and the disappointment and just the utter sadness of not being able to reach her? Not being able to help.
Yeah.
And I grieving the loss of, you know.
I think that you have to realize that you're dealing with a problem that you did not create. You did not cause this problem. This problem came from some other place. And while you feel deeply moved, And you're absolutely right in wanting to reach into the center of her life and bring redemption, at the same time, you didn't create what has gripped her. And so, therefore, you have to give yourself the right to rise above it and to realize that no matter what you feel, you're really not responsible for what her behavior has been and is. Does that make sense?
Yes, it absolutely makes sense.
And I think the other thing, too, is that if you had responded to her in exactly opposite of how you did, you might have had absolutely no better result. And that's just part of the reality of a problem as tough as this one is to deal with.
And Heather,
Sherry, you have a comment?
Yeah, one quick one. Heather, you came into the world and you had an older sister, 11 years older, and a mom that were both erratic. And so somehow, somewhere, as a little girl, you picked up the burden that it's your responsibility to help them get along with each other and with you. And you know what? It's not true. That's a mantle you picked up. It's a role. And I want to tell that little girl in you that you did the best you could. And like, you know, Dr. Weiss and Steve said, it's not your fault and it's not your burden to carry anymore.
Mm-hmm. And the ones who have the problem, they knew exactly how to give you that feeling that you needed to feel responsible for this, and you needed to bear all of those burdens that you've had to bear. And I'm so sorry that that's the way it's been for you.
Often in a family, Steve, there's one person that gets triangled in to kind of be the person that feels responsible, like a social worker of sorts. And really, it's that person that, like our first caller, you know, she's saying, hey, I want to look at this. And that's what needs to happen. I mean, just like Jenny, she needs to go get the healing.
Yep, that's right. All right, let's go to, how about we talk with Anna, Baltimore, Maryland. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing okay. How can we help today?
Thank you for taking my call. I was turned on the radio and heard that the subject was borderline personality. My ex-husband displays a lot of the characteristics of borderline personality disorder, mainly kind of what you said as far as you never know what you're going to get and not being able to see their own behavior, always being the victim, things along those lines. He also displays a lot of drastic mood swings. I don't want to call it bipolar disorder. I don't want to diagnose him, but, you know, drastic mood swings and just really poor decision making. As a result, he's gotten to a place in his life where he's lost everything. He has basically no meaningful relationships with anyone. I have two questions. We have a 10-year-old daughter together, and basically, what steps can I take to protect her from, you know, his decisions, his poor decisions, and the, you know, things that result from them? And I feel like he puts a lot of pressure on her. She's kind of all he has left, and I feel like he puts a lot of pressure on her to make him happy, and I just don't want that to end up affecting her in a negative way.
Okay. Dr. Weiss, what are your thoughts here on with the 10-year-old?
Well, a 10-year-old is reaching that cusp where adolescence is before them, and that will bring a new kind of dynamic. I think that you have to be realistic about human behavior. I think you have to see it for what it is and call it for what it is. And I think with this little girl, nevertheless, she has the capacity to sort out what is real from what is unreal. And I think if you speak to her in a kind, thoughtful, concerned way, but at the same time, honest and forthright in what is happening, that she will be able to sort out what his behavior is and what it means and where it can't go. I've worked with a family where the father ran off, left the children, went through all kinds of problems. But as we talked about his behavior in such a manner that those children could see it for what it was and recognize they didn't create it, they didn't cause it, they found a new stability. And so that's at least where I would start with this person, being realistic.
I, I agree with you, and you must never avoid the truth with kids to avoid the wrath of the person who has the disorder. And especially at age 10, if you're not talking with her about what doesn't feel good to her and what does, and talking to her about everybody has issues, problems, and that you want to be the place where she can count on talking about that with anyone, you got to do that.
My story includes multiple physical and emotional affairs.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
My wife found out that I had betrayed her. She insisted that I would go to the everyman's battle. I had some idea, perhaps, of what to expect, but I had no idea that it would have the impact on me that it did. There's just something about the way that you meet in a large group and then the smaller breakout groups. And the sharing is just something that I've never experienced before.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
This is the first time in my life that I ever felt comfortable in sharing the real me with other men. In my mind, it is one of the most critical things that a guy can do in his recovery.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
You know, one of the great things about TV.NewLife.com is some people will never read a little chapter of a book, but you can put a video in front of them and say, "Hey, honey, watch this with me." And they'll sit down and they'll watch that 5-minute clip. And that 5-minute clip may change their lives forever and, of course, may change yours. Here's what one of our viewers on New Life Television said.
We looked at the budget. We decided, you know, I'm not getting those benefits from Netflix. So we canceled Netflix and subscribe to the good stuff.
If you have a problem, we have a program to match that problem, and it's going to provide you hope, help, and healing. You know, I don't know what you're waiting for. You will never find a better value than all of the transforming content that you'll find at tv.newlife.com. Your life will never be the same. We really are proud to be part of tv.newlife.com.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. We're talking about understanding and loving a person with borderline personality disorder. You can get this book at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Dr. Weiss, he put this together for the Arterburn Wellness Series. People love this book. As I said, focus on the family. This is their go-to book for folks who are living with and loving somebody with borderline. Now, right before, we were just talking with Anna and Sherry.
Yeah,
what do you want to say about this? The influence of this dad and the role of the mom protecting the 10-year-old in this instance.
Because 10-year-olds are vulnerable, really. I mean, and I think I would want to say it made me think of Heather's call. Heather was just the caller before you, where she was stuck in this family and felt kind of weighted by the responsibility. So I would actually let your daughter know, you know what, very simply, it's not your job to make daddy happy. That's not your job. And I would really encourage you to stay out of what I see is often a tug of war between two parents, either whether they're married or whether they're divorced and co-parenting. There's this competition that happens. You may want to do something, and then he wants to one-up you. Or Steve gave a great example, which I'll let him share in a second. But it's this tug of war, and she feels in the middle. And it's not her responsibility to be there. So you have to work really hard to not be hooked into that.
And my point off the air was this, that whenever he does something that is essentially using her to make him happy at her expense, then you need to be the one to point that out to him. And here's an example. All his buddies are going to a baseball game, and he wants to take her to the baseball game. But she's invited to a birthday party, and they're going to go see a ballet, and she loves ballet. And he says, no. She's going to go with me. This is what we're going to do. You have to be the one to say, wait a second. She needs to be with her friends. She loves ballet. She hates baseball. You can't do this. And then you want to be sure that you're not doing any of the same kind of stuff like Sherry's saying, that you're in some kind of competition for her time either. You have to ask him to do everything within his power to make her and her well-being the priority, and neither of you use her, which, oh, it's so tough. So tough with a borderline for the child not to be used. And you need all the help you can get so that you don't enter into the fray because, you know, you are the source of sanity that she needs to be able to depend on. Really glad that you called. I'll send you the book, Understanding and Loving a Person with Borderline Personality Disorder. Now, let's go to Stefan from Stafford, Virginia. Hey, Stefan, how are you?
I'm doing fine. How about yourself?
Great. How can we help you?
I'm married to someone with this, and she also has PTSD. She's bipolar, mood swing disorder, major depressive disorder. And so we're still legally married. We're going through an ugly custody battle. We haven't divorced yet. She hasn't filed. And I'm trying to figure out, how do I deal with her? She's filed false protective orders on me. They've, thank God, got denied because there's no proof of abuse. And then she comes back and tells me she loves me and she wants to work on her marriage, but only on her terms. It's like,
okay. Let me tell you what you do. Let me tell you what you have to do. You have to volunteer for your attorney. You have an attorney, right?
No, I'm going by myself because child support and everything.
That's probably a big mistake there, my friend, because you need all the help you can get. But here's what you want to do. You want to submit to and demand that both of you receive psychological testing.
We already done that, both of us.
And how did that come out? What does the judge know about her?
It said I was codependent and she's bipolar and other things and stuff like that. It said I was codependent on her.
Okay, and so did that have anything? Did that carry any weight on the custody issue or not?
No, not really. No weight. They actually ignored it. And right now we're going back next month and she's facing 21 charges. But constantly disobeying the court order.
Okay. So. Well, you really do need an attorney for the sake of your child. You need to pay the money to get an attorney to help you there. But, Dr. Weiss, you have a comment here?
I would just underscore what you've just said. I think a lot of times the mistake people make in that kind of situation is they assume they have the ability one way or the other to work something out. And, of course, what they're doing is working it out through the systems that have been a part of the problem for many years. That objective voice of an attorney and someone who is able to bring a legal point of view to bear is essential before you get yourself into really deep hot water. I think that's very good advice.
And Sherry, from you.
Yeah, I think, you know what, Stefan, I would really look at that codependency piece, because there's something about you that I don't know if it's kind of this idealization of how you think you could work it out, but there's a vulnerability in you that allows you to be bowled over with her, and it's allowed things to continue for too long, and you need to really learn how to own your own ground and protect your kids from that. And so there might be something there for you to do your own work. Maybe take your life back. Conference would be a great place for you to go and invest in looking at you and how to protect your heart and your kids.
Yeah, when you've got 21 charges against her and you're still in a custody battle, there's a problem here. All right, let's go to, let's talk with Joe, Fairfield, California, KFIA. Joe, how you doing?
Hi. Fine. How are you?
Good. How can we help?
Well, my question is, I have a 31-year-old daughter, and I believe just based on some of her symptoms since she was 16 years old, that she does suffer from a borderline personality disorder. My question is, how do I approach her and talk with her about my suspicions and my findings?
Okay, I'm going to start with you, Sherry, this time. What do you think is the best approach for a mom to a daughter?
I would say to start with getting curious and open. I would try to get less technical with her about diagnosing her. And I would begin with a loving, open conversation about some of the behaviors that you're noticing. And just wonder with her about that. I mean, we don't have a lot of data. You know, you just mentioned there were these behaviors, but I think I would approach it more from an honest, curious perspective and see kind of what tolerance she has to talk about it. She might feel exposed. She might go into a shame spiral. She might push you away because she might feel that you're going to somehow leave or abandon her if there are these broken parts of her. And so assure her of your love. Assure her, honey, you're not in trouble. Sometimes I'll have people say that. I'll say it. I go, you're not in trouble with me. I want to kind of understand some of the behaviors that are going on and where they're coming from.
Okay.
Dr. Wise, a comment here?
No, I think what's just been said is very, very important, very significant. And what I hear is, what was just said is a gentleness, but at the same time, pinpointing the reality of the behavior and being able to say, we've got 1, 2, 3, 4 problems, and here's what they are, I think that helps the person begin to get a new light on themselves. So I would agree with that as well.
Mm, all right. So glad you called. I'll send this book to you, and I think you'll find some things in here that will help you open up to her. But again, you know, the goal isn't for the person to be able to accept a label. The goal, like Sherry's saying here, is to connect with them in a whole new way. Jeremy, Boston, Massachusetts. How you doing there? Thanks for joining us today. You're on Dr. Sherry Keffer and Dr. Robert Wise. How are you?
I'm good. How about you?
Good. What's the question for us today?
I've done some self-reflecting recently because I recently had sort of like a relationship that just ended in, I feel like it was mostly due to me.
Yeah.
And then because of it, I just kind of started to do a little bit of research. I started to do some self-reflecting and just kind of figure out what went wrong. And then recently I've talked to my family and I really started to kind of open up with them. And I mean, I realized that my sisters and my mother both already are aware that they have mental issues. So I don't know. I don't want to self-diagnose myself, but I also kind of feel like I have some of the characteristics that a self-borderline personality disorder is.
Okay. All right. Do you have a question for us right before we go to the break here? Do you have a question?
I guess my question is what should I do? What steps should I take to try and fix what's wrong?
We're going to give you some help right after this. So glad you are listening to New Life Live. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you need some help, if you want this book, if you can support New Life, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll be right back after this.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Every time we try to talk, it just turns into a fight. I am so tired of arguing.
I don't understand. God, why did you take him from me?
I don't want my kids to think of me as the angry dad. Why can't I control my temper?
like he's more like my roommate than my husband. How did we become this distant?
I hate looking in the mirror. No matter what I try, nothing seems to work.
I just feel like my world is spinning out of control.
I feel so broken. Could God ever heal me?
Is it ever going to get better?
I feel like I'm drowning.
When will I learn to just breathe again?
It doesn't have to be this way. 48 hours can change your life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. The book, Understanding and Loving a Person with Borderline Personality Disorder, another one in the series that's so great, is Understanding and Loving a Person with Attention Deficit Disorder. If you want these, call us. And let me remind you, this weekend I'm in California at the Intimacy and Marriage Intensive with Mylon and Kay. It's going to be a great, great time. Restore Hope for a Woman's Heart. That's February 23rd. Take Your Life Back. You've heard us mention it. It's March the 16th. We want to help you. Please let us help you. Call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. So the question was, he believes that he's borderline personality disorder. Jeremy does. What's my next step? Dr. Weiss, what would you say would be next step?
I would say to Jeremy, you've shined a flashlight into your psyche, into your life, and you realize there's some things there that you can't get your hands around, you can't quite understand. That's a moment where a professional counselor can be so important and so significant. There are a lot of Christian counselors out there who can help you turn a broader light, a beaming light on that inner world, and help you get your hands around not only what seems to be wrong, but here's how it can be corrected, here's how it can be reshaped. So I would say you're standing at a great moment to tackle something that you can't by yourself understand, but the right kind of counselor will get you back on the track that you want to be on.
That really is the next step. And as most of you know, we've got a counselor network. You just have to call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and we will connect you with a great counselor in your area.
And
our final call. Yes, go ahead, Sharon.
I was going to just make one question, and Jeremy's. Yeah. So often we think if we hear a few symptoms, it's us. But I can imagine him growing up in a home with a mom and sisters that were mentally ill. He might push and pull in relationships. He might move towards females going, I want that comfort and closeness, but then get close and feel like they're going to control me or hurt me and then push away with anger or other things. So I agree with Dr. Weiss. Get in, have somebody lift the hood up and help you figure out what's going on.
All right. We've had so many phone calls. It's just like when I was on Chris Fabry's show. So many, but I want to get this final call. Darnell, Washington, D.C., WAVA, you're my final caller. Don't have a lot of time, but I did want to get to you. How could we help?
Thanks for accepting my call. I have a 9-year-old daughter as a result of a relationship, a long-term relationship prior, and we separated, and I've gone on to be married to another person now. So as a result of the separation, my daughter is in between two households, and her mom was always the one who would try to just do some of these things I've heard you talk about. But my daughter's caught in the middle of it, and I have no clue how to really help my daughter just deal with that, where her mom would yell at her because of, okay, well, it's dad's fault that he's no longer here, and he's not there, so it's dad's fault.
Okay. All right, let us get to an answer here, because I'm just out of time. Your thoughts here, Dr. Weiss, what do you think?
I think, again, we need some professional help here. We need to take that daughter, we need to take that family situation into a counseling arena where they can define and help direct and help clarify what needs to happen.
Yeah, I think that's really, really exactly right. Well, Dr. Weiss, I want to give you an opportunity. Anything you'd like to say as we close out the program, any encouragement you have for anybody experiencing this or living with somebody with borderline personality disorder?
Well, Steve, I believe that people are meant to be redeemed. I believe that redemption is a promise for everyone. Some of us take decades to fulfill what is within our redemption. Some of us can do it in a day, but most of us it takes more time. But yeah. I believe that in the reality of Jesus Christ entering into a person's life, that with the right kind of psychological guidance and dynamic, that people can find hope, can find new life, and can find a new way. And that's what I would point toward.
Amen. Well, thank you for being with us. God bless you. Thanks for writing this book. It really is a fantastic resource. Sherry, any comment here before we close out the program?
Yeah, I think just springboarding off of Darnell's comment is I think it's important that as parents who are living with someone who has BPD, that you become the safe place, mm-hmm. that you create a safe environment for that daughter, that you do everything in your power to give them the environment that's going to help them sort out what they feel good with and what they feel bad about. And be the safe one. Be the protective one.
And be consistent.
Yep.
The other day, and I'm going to brag on myself here. I rarely do. I do give you my negatives, but here was a positive. We were talking, and we were talking about me getting angry, and Misty started laughing uncontrollably in front of the kids, and she was laughing because she was saying to the kids, "Hey, this guy angry is in a better mood than most people are, you know, when they're in a good mood." And so they don't ever see a lashing out in anger, because I want to be that consistent post in their life. I don't want them to have to worry and be afraid. And that really, for somebody who's got a borderline parent, you're wanting to protect them. You work out your problems in whatever way you need to, so you have that kind of consistency, so they're not having to worry about two versus just one. Well, if a gift of any amount, I'll send you Understanding and Loving a Person with Borderline Personality Disorder, or you can order it right there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It really can provide you insight that will make all the difference in the world. Now, today's Valentine's Day, and I remember that my parents taught me to give a love offering on Sunday. And so I'm going to ask you, maybe you've never given to New Life, but this is a great day. Valentine's Day is a great day to make a love offering to New Life. Maybe it's $30 in honor of our 30th anniversary, a one-time gift. Oh, we would be so grateful for that. February is always a tough month for us after the year-end giving. If you could help us, we sure would appreciate it. And I'll send you a copy of the 7 choices that you can make right now. You can make these choices to initiate healing into your life. So pray about it. Ask God, is this a ministry that I could or should support? You know, today we were talking about somebody went on our trip. And when you go on a trip with New Life, you get to know us intimately. They had only given $10 before they went on the trip with us. And then right after that trip, they wanted to be part of us. They gave $500. And then they told us, hey, we're putting you into our will and our estate planning. Because I believe the more you get to know about New Life, the more you'll trust us with your giving. Because I'm telling you, we put it right where it counts in transforming lives. That's the only reason we're here, is life transformation. So call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and to say thank you, I can send you the 7 choices for healing. I can send you this book, Understanding and Loving a Person with Borderline Personality Disorder. I can also send you the one for Attention Deficit Disorder. You just tell us what you need. But we hope and pray that of all the things that you experience out of New Life, on this Valentine's Day, it's a great reminder of it, hope that you would experience the love of Jesus Christ. I tell people at our workshops, when you're at our workshop, if you don't experience love from these therapists, these counselors, from our staff, then this ministry is not one to support. But if we're doing our job and we're giving you the truth, it should have the compassion and the mercy and the grace that Jesus showed when he was on this earth. We love you. Happy Valentine's Day to you. Don't tell anybody. No one wished you that. I just did. You call us if you need us. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. See you next time. Thanks, Sherry. Thanks Dr. Wise.
We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.